Everybody take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verses 17. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. We're just going to read one verse starting off. And the Bible says, "When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you meet with us tonight. And dearly Father, I pray that you just use this time that we have to challenge us, convict hearts. And dearly Father, whatever purpose you have for this, I pray that you your will be done. And dearly Father, I pray that you use this message despite me. But dearly Father, I pray that you just work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you kind of a dumb question tonight. Does anyone here like doctors? Anyone? And, you know, here's the thing is, I don't know if, you lied before, you're lying again, you better be at the altar. And, so anyways, he raises his hand when it comes to, liking doctors, but, try and drag him in for a shot. So, here's the thing is, anybody with some good common sense, I think, doesn't like doctors. When I was growing up, I used to, get ear infections all the time anyways, I used to have to go to the doctor for allergy shots. And talk about cruel and unusual punishment as a kid. It's like, you know, all right, listen, once a month, whether you're good or not, you're going in and getting a shot in the arm. And, you know, and it's like allergy, the testing for it was even worse. Because, they, you know, I was about the size of Dallas, except imagine the energy of Elijah and the size of Dallas. And, you know, they tell me to lay on this table while the doctor draws circles all over your back, drops stuff on it and then takes a needle and stabs you in each circle. And, that wasn't very fun for me. And, I was one of those kids where I went to the doctor a lot. When I was, about Elijah's age, I was playing, Little League. And, they put me out in the outfield. And I remember one time I wasn't paying attention. I was staring at a bug or something. And The coach decided he was going to get my attention, so he took a softball and he just chucked it at me. He was thinking I'd see the softball coming, you know, pay attention or whatever. It started to make him nervous because I still wasn't paying attention and the ball was starting to get closer. So he finally called my name. He said, "Scott!" Turned and looked and it just hit me right square in the eye. Well, at that point in time, I wore glasses and the glasses drove into my cheek. And then all of a sudden, the ambulance, I don't think the ambulance was called. Back then, we didn't call the ambulance for everything. It's like, my dad, suck it up, buttercup. And, you know, if it was really bad, then he'd drive you in. You know, he's trying to sew it up with fishing line or, you know, it wasn't that bad. But anyways, I remember, the doctors were all like, you know, telling my parents, it'd be better if you're not in the room. And my mom and dad are like, yeah, sure, go for that. And five nurses couldn't pin me down for the doctor to sew up my cheek. And so finally, my mom walked in and sat down, and I knew that whatever pain I was going through was not going to be anything like the pain I was going to go through at home if I didn't behave. And but here's the thing, it's doctors. You know, a lot of times we don't like doctors, but you know, the thing about it is that doctors do a lot of good, but you know, a lot of times the doctors only take care of our physical body. And, but here's the thing there's Dr. Jesus, and, I'm not talking about Dr. Pepper, you know, I'm bitter at my work. You go to the machine, and I'm getting sidetracked here, but you go to the machine, there's no Dr. Pepper in the machine. There's Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, and a bunch of other garbage. And, then I always get a kick out of the fact that, you know, they go in and they, Diet Mountain Dew, please. It's like, you're already having a Mountain Dew, seriously, just have the regular one. And, but anyway, so here's the thing is, back to the sermon, and, you know, the thing about it is that you can take all the penicillin in the world and still die without Jesus. And, you need the great physician. And so, you know, we're going to talk about, the great physician. Your soul needs another type of physician, not just an earthly physician, but the great physician. And, you know, the thing about it is that one thing that's always bothered me about doctors was they call it a practice. I mean, think about this. You're about ready to go under the knife. And he says, well, I've been in practice. Well, what? Find somebody that knows what they're talking about. You know, but here's the thing is, you know what the awesome part about it is? God makes no mistakes. And, you know, I'm so glad that, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, the Bible talks about in verse 29 through 31. You know, the thing about it is I'm sorry, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I'm going to turn you all over the place tonight, and we're going to do that all before 8 o'clock. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what our diagnosis says? You know, here's the thing, is the great physician, he never makes a mistake. He never made a mistake when it was time for us to get saved. You know what our diagnosis was? We are sinners. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Now, Dr. Jesus got out his prescription pad and said, you know what? What's needed is without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You know what? Jesus makes no mistakes. And here's the thing is, he's never misdiagnosed. You know, I hate it when, how many have ever had the flu or something, gone into the doctor and they gave you something that didn't really nip it in, like Barney Fife, nip it in the bud, you know? And they didn't nip it in the bud. It was, you just either got worse or you kept on getting sick, and there's nothing worse than taking medication and not getting better. The thing about it is, though, is when we listen to the great physician, you know what? The prescription is exactly as prescribed. It is exactly the thing that we need. And Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 through 31. The Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than the sparrows. Here's the thing is, you know, God has never misdiagnosed a case because he knows everything about us. And the thing about it is, the Bible says, he knows how many hairs are on our head. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's a tough job when you talk about women. Because here's the thing is, I couldn't even count how many hairs are in a hairbrush, much less are still left on the head, and how much they waver. You know, I'll be like, oh, there's 39,000, well, no, it changed. 29,000, no, you know, I couldn't even imagine that. But here's the thing is, God knows everything about us, and the thing about it is, you know, here's the thing is, I went to the doctor for my back a little while ago. Get this, $150 for 15 minutes. He walks in, looks at a chart, and he says, listen, here's what I think's going on, here's what I think you should do, all right, see ya. And here's the thing is, you know what? I was just words on a chart. God says, no, listen, the reason why God has such a perfect track record, part of the reason is, you know what? He loves us and he cares about us. The other thing about it is we're not just some number. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now listen, when it comes down to the great physician, you know, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time going to the doctor, but listen. You know what? We shouldn't have a hard time going to the great physician because he careth for you. Listen, the thing about it is he's never made a mistake. Think about this for a while. It's not a practice for him. It's not a guesstimation. Listen, when we go to God and we say, God, I have a sin problem. Think about salvation. We went to God, those of us that are saved, and said, God, listen, I have a sin problem. I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die and go to hell. But for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, listen, God had the perfect prescription for our sin problem, and that was salvation. God says, listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, that was the perfect prescription written out to a sin problem that we had. And listen, God has the answer every time. Now listen, it's a matter of what, you know, I'll be honest, I was going to talk about this a little later on. You say, the thing about it is my life isn't what it should be. Then you know what? Maybe we ought to go to the great physician for some answers. You say, well, you know what? I don't have the joy that I should have. Maybe we ought to go to the great physician for some answers. Hey, I've got a problem in this area or that area. I've got this. Hey, listen, it's time that we go to the great physician. You know, on the ambulance, it kind of baffled me. You'd have this person, when you talk about the right scenario, I'm using the wrong words, but basically somebody that's prone to certain things, right? Because you have somebody that's maybe in the 50s or 60s and they have chest pain and it's radiating down their left arm and it's difficult to breathe. And you have all these symptoms and they're sitting there thinking, you know what? Maybe if I take an antacid, it'll go away. Maybe, and they present with all the signs and symptoms of a heart attack, but they're taking an antacid. They're taking a nap. They're doing whatever the thing is. They know they have a problem. They just refuse to deal with it. They're afraid of the consequence. They're afraid of what will happen. Now, listen. Too many times we as Christians, we deal with God the same way. We think, you know what? God's going to call me to the mission field, or God's going to call me to do more in church. God's going to call me to do this. Listen. God's will is always best. God's will is always best. And His prescriptions in this word. Listen, it's not a buffet line. You know, here's the thing is, I hate, kind of getting sidetracked again, but, you know, I hate going to buffets with people that sample during the buffet line. You know, it's like, when I was growing up, we'd go out to eat with this one guy, and he'd take and pick out of the buffet, and he'd kind of nibble on it. Hey, you want a bite? I'm like, I'm not even eating out of that dish. And, you know, the thing about it is, but listen, guys, too many Christians, we're the same way. We'll take, you know what? I'll take this part of the Bible, and I'll take that part of the Bible, and I'll take that part of the Bible, but you know that over there, I don't really think it applies to me. And here's the thing is, what happens is our sin issues are not dealt with because we haven't gone to the great physician. And, so anyways, the thing about it is you look at the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus had a perfect diagnosis of him. And in verses 16 through 22, the Bible says, here we are, and behold, one man came and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit it, that I may have eternal life?" Now here's the problem. What good thing shall I do? Jesus knew that there wasn't anything that this rich young ruler was going to do to earn his way to heaven. Thing about it is just like there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. And God knew this. And so the Bible talks about, I lost my spot. Matthew 19:16. Okay. And he said unto him, "Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" Now here's the thing is, I've never known anyone to take and not... Remember how the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? This guy right here. Okay? And the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect and go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, thou shalt have thy treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. And here's the thing is, you know, the Bible goes on and he says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter in the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Here's the thing is, God knew that his possessions meant more to him than anything else. And that here's the thing is, he wasn't honest with God. I'll be honest, you know, here's the thing is, I've never seen a dishonest person get saved. Because in order to get saved, we have to realize we're lost. We have to realize that we're sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Remember, I quoted the verse, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We have to be willing to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And listen, if we think that we're capable of getting ourselves up into heaven, it's not going to happen. And so here's the thing. It's a perfect diagnosis for a perfect sin problem. Now, here's an example of somebody that said, found out the prescription that was written and said, "That's not for me." Now, here's the thing is, hopefully everyone in this room is saved. But I wonder how many of us, we've sat through plenty of pastor sermons, and you know what? The Holy Spirit was right, got out his prescription pad and said, "Listen, this is what needs to happen. You've got a sin problem. You've got maybe something the Bible talks about out there. There's a sin of commission, which is basically doing something that we're not supposed to do. There's also the sin of omission. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sometimes we sit under the preaching of the Word of God, or we read our Bibles, or we sit in Sunday school. And by the way, we're never too old for Sunday school. And, you know, the thing about it is we sit and under the preaching of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is writing out a prescription and we're saying, nah, I don't think so. The truth of the matter is if we really want that problem taken care of, we've got to listen to the great physician. He's never misdiagnosed a case. He's never charged a patient. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Oh, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? For ye labor for that which is satisfied not. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and will make you an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Here's the thing, you know what's awesome is God's never sent anyone a bill for his services. You know, the cool part, I tell you what, this is what baffles me about some of the churches out in the area. You know, Pastor and I were just talking about a church that, or a person that set up a website for prayer. And if you pay whatever price it was, we'll pray for you. And they set up a fake testimonial. And truth of the matter is he probably didn't go, he didn't probably know God from a rattlesnake. And but the thing about it is that, listen, God never charged anybody for services. And you know, the thing about it is well, I was talking to an individual just this past week. Her husband had passed away. And just the illnesses leading up to and whatnot, she said her bill that she got it a year after he had passed away. The bill was for $29,000. And later on she found out that they didn't type in the codes right and they'd billed her the full amount. She's like, I didn't have a clue on where I was going to get $29,000 from. And she said, I automatically started praying about it. And you know what the cool part about it is? She said, I talked to the insurance company and I talked to the hospital and I got all on a three-way call. And you know what they figured out? That basically, since they entered in the codes wrong, they were supposed to bill within 60 days. And since they passed the 60 days, what it ended up happening was the hospital realized it was their fault. They could no longer bill the insurance. They wouldn't even have a clue on how much the insurance was paid. They wiped out the debt altogether. By the way, that's the power of prayer. That's a true story. But here's the thing is, you know what? God never makes you pay. Some churches over there, they say, listen, if you give the church $100, we'll forgive you of 1.5 cents. And you know what? God never sends Lillian, it'd be broke. And no, just joking. And thing about it is that, you know what? God never sends a bill. And Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Bible says over here, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And so here's the thing is, you know what? The bill has already been paid. You know what? You look at the 10 leopards. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the passage. 10 came to Jesus, and you know what? He didn't say, for 5 easy payments of $14.95, you know, you can be healed of leprosy. No. You know what? They had faith in God, and their faith. Now, here's the thing is, not all of them came back not all of them came back and thank God, but here's the thing is, you know what? Listen, the bill has been paid. You think about it. Our sin debt has been paid. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You read the Bible and you know what? I cannot pay my sin debt. If I were to try and pay my sin debt, I'd be dying and going to hell. But you know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, and bless God, it's been paid. And you know what? It's been paid in full. There's nothing better than to see, like if you've been paying off on a car or whatever, nothing cooler than to have the title with the words stamped on it, paid in full. And you know what? Hey, listen, my sin debt has been paid in full. And you know what? But the thing about it is that, you know what? We can walk with God, and God doesn't say, listen, if you'll give 14 payments to $14.95, you can have a relationship with me, or you can get answers to prayer. You know what? We can all, it doesn't matter. You know what the thing about it is that we can all walk with God. We can all have a relationship with God. And but you know what? He never wrote a wrong prescription. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, the Bible says, "Come unto me." The first part of the prescription was come. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. Like I said before, there are some people that will take, and you know what? Listen, they'll take, and the prescription that God writes, they'll say, you know what? It's not for me. There is nothing, I'll be honest with you. You know, no prescription. I've never seen any prescription. I've dealt with a lot of prescriptions. Not necessarily mine. I'm not a junkie. But anyways, here's the thing is, I've seen a lot of prescriptions, but you know what I've never seen a prescription do? I've never seen a prescription heal anybody. Never have. It's when you take that prescription, walk it down to the pharmacy, set it on the counter, and get it filled, and take it, that it makes a difference. Here's the thing is, you know what? There's a lot of people that are on prescriptions. But you know what? They don't tack it on the wall and it makes them better. They've got to take it down to the pharmacy, and they've got to fill it, and they've got to take it in order for it to do any good. Listen, we can sit in church, but until we start acting on the prescription, it's not going to do us any good. God didn't save us to just sit here. God didn't fill us with His Holy Spirit power for us to just sit here and do nothing. You know, the Bible says, to them gave He power to become sons of man. You know, the thing about it is God talks about power for soul winning. Are we using it? Are we filling the prescription? Because the thing about it is you look at it, and I've got a lot of scripture, but I don't have time to turn there. The Bible says there's more blessed to give than to receive. All throughout scripture, and we talked about this, young people, in Sunday school, is, you know what? The Christian life is not about selfish living. The Christian life is not all about what I can get. It's what I can give. And the thing about it is if we're to have the mind of Christ, if we're to be filling the prescriptions, it's because we're living an unselfish life. And the thing about it is when we take like for instance, I was talking this morning with the young adults, is we got to come to a service and say, not just what I can take from the service, what can I add to the service? How can I help somebody? Maybe I can share a Bible with somebody. Maybe I can share a songbook. When a visitor walks through the door, how do I treat that visitor? Do I walk up and do I walk right by that visitor, or do I say, you know what, you just sat in my seat? And that happens, I hope that never happens here, but happens all across America. It's like giving the glare down. Ralph, you took my seat. You know, we ought to be contributing to the service. And you know what? But anyways, so here's the thing is, come unto me. John chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible talks about the next part of the prescription is, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never drink again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up of everlasting life." Listen, the thing about it is He never wrote a wrong prescription. For sake of time, I'm going to move on. He never lost a case. John chapter 18 and verse 9. You know, you look at it, you'd be shocked at the success rate of a doctor. You know, being in the medical field, I've seen a lot, and you'll be shocked. You know, you'd want somebody to be 100%. You know, the thing about it is you look at the weatherman. It's okay if the weatherman is wrong, because what happens when the weatherman's wrong? You know what? You get rained out and you forgot your umbrella. Seriously, when the surgeon is wrong, you know what? And there's a sponge left in you, there's a problem. You know, but here's the thing, the great physician has never made a mistake, has never lost a case. John chapter 18 and verse 9, the Bible says, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Jesus had a perfect track record. John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible talks about, in salvation, you know, for those that think they can lose their salvation, this is a perfect verse for that. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so the thing about it is Jesus has never lost the case. He's never lost the patient. And so the thing about it is that Jesus, I can't say enough, Jesus is perfect, the great physician. When it comes down to it, this is the inspired word of God. And what it says is the prescription for living. And when we take and apply this book to our lives, you know what? And we do exactly what the doctor ordered, we'll have no regrets. You know what? The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. But listen, you know what? God will work it out if we'll give it to Him. But you know, here's the thing is, I can testimony time a little bit. You know what? Every time I've tried to work it out on my own wisdom and my own power, let me tell you, I made a mistake. And I've had regrets. But every time I've tried to give it to God, you know what? Paul, I finished the course. I've run my race. Henceforth is there laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Basically what Paul's saying in there, and I believe Philippians, was, listen, I have no regrets. Why? Because he lived his life according to this book right here. Every time we have regrets is because we've stepped away from this book. Now, the thing about it is just like I said, sometimes we hesitate on going to the doctor. I can understand an earthly doctor. But you know what? We should never hesitate towards going to God. We should never hesitate for you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's churches all across America where they're feel-good churches. Never preach on sin. I was joking around with a pastor about the church that serves alcohol. I told him he'd get more amens if he had a bar in the back. And you may not be able to distinguish the words, but no, I'm just joking. But anyways, the thing about it is there's churches all across America. You know what? Feel good, prosperity religion. You talk about it all, and they're trying to make people feel good. I remember, I think it was Aaron, we were talking about an individual that didn't want to go to a church because it made him feel bad. Well, here's the thing is, you know what? He had sin in his life, and he didn't want to get it out. And listen, there's times where, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Even just like I hated shots, you know what? I'll be honest with you. My allergies are not even close to what they used to be when I was a kid. Why? Because the doctor knew exactly what I needed. And even though it wasn't exactly pleasant all the time, it was what was best for me. And now the thing about it is sometimes God calls us to get a little uncomfortable at times. You know, sometimes God calls us to step on faith. But here's the thing is, ultimately, God knows what's best for us. And if, you know what, here's the thing is, if we're never willing to step out of our comfort zone, if we're never willing to go a step out and go soul winning, we'll never see a soul saved. If we're never willing to step out and teach a Sunday school class, we'll never know what it's like to have one of those Sunday school kids go off and serve God with their life. If we never step out of our comfort zone and do things for God, you know what? God will not be able to work through us. We've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and say, listen, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. You know what? Whether I like it or not is not the issue. Whether I agree with it or not is not the issue. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we look at God's word and it doesn't make sense. But you know what? His ways are not my ways and my ways are not His ways. And thank God for it, because I've made plenty of mistakes. He's the perfect one. And so when things don't exactly line up, when things don't seem like they make sense, you know what? God is always the one that we should listen to. And when you know what? Our life, we need to go to the great physician. We need to go to the prescription book. We need to see what it says. We need to fill that prescription. And then you know what? We need to live our lives by it. This is why God says, be holy, for I am holy. He said, listen, the standard is holiness. The prescription is holiness. How are we living? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you for the prescription book. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that you gave us the Word of God. Heavenly Father, it seems like at times I have a hard time telling which way is up, much less the way I should live my life. Thank you so much for the fact that someone so much greater and so much wiser than me is written in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for giving us the Word of God and the way we should live our lives and everything we need to know. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to have faith, help us to trust in you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you make no mistakes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to live our lives according to this Word. I pray this all in Jesus' name, Pastor.